with sports, I'm Phil Nee. High school girls wrestlers will be going to separate tournaments this year. There will be a conference tournament this weekend for a lot of area conferences, and then regionals and sectionals will be held the Friday night before the boys wrestling tournament. So Friday night, the Southwest Conference SWAL Clash. They've also added the Scenic Ridge and Rivers this year. The girls tournament, the conference tournament, will be hosted by Belmont High School on Friday night. Richland Center wrestling coach Darren Gunderson has been working primarily with the girls wrestlers the last couple of years, and I talked to him this week about how it's going and about Richland Center's recent girls invite this past Saturday.
You know, it went pretty well. Like I said, we know we're trying to build that tournament up a little bit, trying to get more girls involved. We only had a little over 40 girls this year, a little bigger than last year. So each year we're trying to build it up, add more teams, and hopefully we can get that to be a pretty nice sized tournament.
So tell me about the girls that you currently have representing Richland Center.
We have four girls this year. They're all very hardworking and very impressed with them so far. So we're looking for good things here coming at the conference and regional time. Hopefully we can get a couple through and possibly, take a shot at getting a state. But they work very hard and just a good group of kids.
Are you glad that there is a separate conference, regional and sectional, this year?
I am. I'm very happy with that. I think it's time that the girls get the exposure they deserve, and there's a lot of good wrestlers out there that are girls. They can compete with some of the boys, I think, very easily. So it's nice to see, and I'm glad to see that WIA is finally getting that going, and hopefully it'll get bigger and bigger.
It looks like there'll be a number of wrestlers Friday night with the addition of the Scenic Ridge and Rivers. Should be a good tournament at Belmont, shouldn't it?
It should be. Yep, it's going to be a very good one. Like I said, there's a lot of good wrestlers coming in, and a lot of them got some good individuals. I think there's only a couple that probably have some full teams, but like I said, it's going to be some good competition for the girls.
Who do you look at as your leaders for the girls this year?
Oh, Madeline Muller, like I said, she's coming in for her third year here, and she's been kind of the overall leader of the team. She kind of takes other girls under her wings and been doing a great job. But like I said, Kylie Spildy and Mariah McDay, they're all coming along real good, and Val's our newest girl, and like I said, she's really getting into things too. So like I said, we're very impressed with all four of them.
Darren Gunderson, good luck to the girls wrestlers as they get ready for the conference tournament on Friday night at Belmont High School. On the schedule tonight in boys basketball, Lafarge at North Crawford, Wazika Steuben at Kickapoo, and Seneca at Weston. Bangor visits Hillsboro, Nasita at Royal, Cashton at Brookwood. Riverdale plays at Fenimore, Iowa Grant at Darlington, Mineral Point at Cuba City, and Southwestern at Boscobel. In the girls' games tonight, Richland Center at Dodgeville, River Valley at Platteville, Lancaster at Prairie du Chien. Baraboo travels to Stoughton, Highland at River Ridge, Viroqua at Westby, and Wisconsin Heights at Belleville, and Wazika Steuben at Ithaca. That is a makeup game. It will start at 7 o'clock. It's varsity only, and we'll have the game on WRCO-FM 100.9 and WRCO.com. At Wednesday's WIA Board of Control meeting, a group gave final approval for a plan that makes significant changes to the high school football playoff structure, plus voted to expand the 8-player football postseason as well. A point system would be used for each win a team accumulates during the season. More points would be assigned for wins against higher division opponents. This is considered the Tier 1 points. In addition, the points for each opponent that a team defeats would be added up to determine the Tier 2 points. I brought in our high school sports expert, Travis Wilson, for more about that.
There's a few different components to it. And one of the interesting components is, number one, you know your division before the season starts in high school football now, which has not been the case previously. It was the only sport where, you didn't know for sure which division you might be in. And there were teams that were kind of on that proverbial bubble that maybe they're D4, maybe they're D5. They don't know until the season is over. So that's one of the things that coaches like, is you know your division ahead of time. Once that is done and you know your division, now you know who you're competing against, who other teams in your grouping or area could potentially be, and you qualify within your division. So instead of that mad race to figure out qualifiers on the last Friday of the season, you know your division, and now you just got to figure out if you're in or not. And then furthermore, the system applies points for your wins based on the size of the team that you beat. So you're rewarded for beating bigger opponents if you can. But then you're also rewarded based on your schedule, and that's where what they term the Tier 2 points come in, which is essentially a strength of schedule metric, where you add up the points of the teams that you defeated, and that's a really significant part of the plan. So long story short, win games, and good things happen.
Right. I think that it probably changes things, though, about who you schedule, though, because, right, you're going to want to play tougher opponents, and if you're a team that has not got a good tradition, people might not want to play you. Is that correct?
There's some of that potentially, but I think, you know, one of the other parts to it for qualifying, it always used to be that it was based on your conference record and your conference finish, which, you know, you don't necessarily have control over what conference you're in or the quality of your conference. And now your two non-conference games are included in the evaluation and qualification process to get into the playoffs. So you have a little bit more control. If you feel like you're in a tough conference and, you know, you need to find some wins or you need to, you know, get some more points, you can go out and schedule accordingly and find a game that makes sense for what your needs are. Still, it takes two to tango, right? I mean, you know, you've got to find somebody that wants to play you and is willing to play you, that is hopefully a good competitive game. And I think we'll hopefully see that continue, where there's good non-conference matchups that, you know, are competitive for both teams and not just a blowout one way or the other.
So if you have, let's say, three really quality wins over conference opponents with lots of wins, and somebody else is sitting there with four wins against teams that didn't win hardly anything, you could go to the playoffs with less wins, right?
Absolutely. The proposal was run against last year's results. And, again, because you qualify in your own division, you know, you're not comparing everybody across the state anymore. You're just comparing the teams in your division, and some divisions are weaker than others. There's just, you know, that's just the way it works. So you could have a team that finishes 5-4 overall in a division that's a stronger division, but that team played really weak competition. And in a different division that's maybe a little bit weaker, you could have a 3-6 team, or even maybe a 2-7 team get in if they have quality wins. Get in a different division. So it really does reward beating good competition, not just racking up wins against Sisters of the Poor.
That is Travis Wilson from WizSports.net. The 11-0 vote in favor of 8-player football expansion moves the number of qualifiers from 16 teams to 32 beginning in 2025, with more than 70 total 8-player teams and more than 50 that are eligible for the playoffs. It brings the ratio of qualifiers to teams in line with the 11-player divisions, and they will start practice the same day this year as well. Merchants Bowling League. Phoenix Center had a 28-44 series. Richland Locker, 27-94. Goplin Insurance, 27-79. High Game Honors, Phoenix Center and Goplin Insurance, 980s. Richland Locker, 967. Phoenix Center, a 965. Top series, Greg Shep, 649. Isaac Davison, 622. Jacob Layton, a 629. Top game, Chase Keller and Isaac Davison with 248s. Jeff Seckman, a 243. Matt Fargin and Jacob Layton each had a 235 game as well in the Merchants Bowling League. He's been a big part of the Bucs' success for more than a decade. Now Chris Middleton has been traded. Milwaukee is getting Kyle Kuzma and Patrick Baldwin Jr. from the Washington Wizards for Middleton, A.J. Johnson, and a swap of draft picks. Middleton played a major role in the 2021 NBA championship run and is third in the list of all-time franchise scorers. Injuries and age relegated him to the bench recently. The Bucs also received center Jericho Sims from the Knicks as a part of the multi-team deal. Playing without Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton, who was traded, the Bucks were able to claim an easy win in Charlotte Wednesday night, 112-102. That ends a four-game losing streak. Damian Lillard, Brooke Lopez, and Bobby Portis Jr. fill the gaps in production. Lillard scored 29 and added a dozen assists. Lopez started the game with 4 three-pointers in the first period, and Portis returned to the lineup with 23 points and 17 rebounds. The Bucks led by more than double digits most of the game. The next action is Friday in Atlanta. And running back Josh Jacobs tells an interviewer he thinks the Packers need a number one receiver. Jacobs doubled down by saying a proven number one. Most offseason talk has centered on Green Bay adding a pass rusher like Myles Garrett or Max Crosby. Jacobs' comment got quick pushback on X from wide receiver Jaden Reed, then shortly later from another young receiver, Dontavian Wicks. There has been speculation that the Packers could bring former star Davante Adams back to Lambeau Field, but no indication that any talks have been conducted are underway. That's an update on sports for a Thursday morning. I'm Phil Neap.